Good morning again. I like responses like that. That's great. Well, I was in town again yesterday. I get to know this place over around Portland more than I've known it for some time. We had a funeral service to attend at, speaking of Solid Rock, we were at Solid Rock Baptist Church yesterday over by back of Home Depot over here. But it's nice to know that not just Baptist churches are on the solid rock, right? It isn't the name of the church that gets us to heaven. It's the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who takes us to heaven. I praise God as often as I think about that in my heart and sometimes with my lips as well, rejoicing that He is my Savior. And I'm rejoicing that He is the Savior of, I hope, all of you. I hope all of you, if He isn't, don't leave today without settling that issue. Who would not want to receive a free gift of everlasting life from the one who went to the cross to die for our sins and to suffer in our place? It doesn't show a lot of wisdom to reject His offer. Please make sure you have that assurance of your own salvation. If you're coming to this place, you're going to hear this over and over again, because we preach the word here, and it'll be preached long after I leave. I assure you of that, because this is what this church is built on, the solid rock for sure. Well, I've had lots of pleasure in preparing for this sermon. I always enjoy, I don't know, I get more pleasure out of preparing it or delivering it. I get to rejoice with you when I'm here. And I get to just sit there and praise God by my desk as I'm reading and rehearsing all these things. I got into a rather interesting study this week, and I know I don't have time to tell you everything I've got in my notes here today, but I'll try to give you the tip of the iceberg. How's that? Will that work all right? Okay, we're in Philippians chapter 1 still. We're not moving real fast. I hope there's no speed limit problem here. If we are get rear-ended because we're driving too slow here, we'll be in trouble. But we're in Philippians chapter 1, and I'm still talking about the Apostle Paul and his perspective on the Christian life, and particularly on the Lord Jesus Christ. We've entitled this message, The Ultimate Sacrifice. I think I used that word about a month ago when I gave an alphabet. When it came to you, I think I used that term. I don't remember now. But the ultimate sacrifice that Jesus Christ made on the cross. We hear that term quite a bit, don't we, on the news when one of our soldiers has died overseas in Afghanistan or something. Either our president or the governor of that particular state where that young man or young lady were, and they lost their life in battle. They often talk about the fact that this young person made the ultimate sacrifice. And I thought so much about how the real ultimate sacrifice was made by Jesus Christ. No one has ever matched the quality and the value of the sacrifice Jesus made at the cross. He surrendered His own body to be bruised, struck, and slugged by soldiers and those who were making it so miserable for Him. He surrendered His body to that. He prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, where His soul was exceedingly sorrowful, addressing the problem of having to go to the cross, and yet He said, "Not my will, but thine be done." And then on the cross, He surrendered His spirit to the Father, and He went back to Him in victory. That, my friend, is the ultimate sacrifice. When someone gives their body, soul, and spirit back to the Father, that is the best you can do. And I've tried to make sure that my own life can be an example of that as I live my life and as I share the truth with people. I want them to know I'm following Christ. I'm on the solid rock. I'm going to lean totally on Him. All of my eggs are in His basket. If I can't get saved through Jesus, I won't be saved at all. Because there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I appreciate the perspective Paul had on that. He didn't worry about death He wasn't afraid to die. He says, I don't count my life dear to myself, as he was being judged by those in Acts chapter 20, or as he was sharing with his elders over there in from Ephesus. He says, I don't count my life dear unto myself. He says, according to my earnest expectation, Philippians 1:20, and hope that I shall not be put to shame in anything, but that with all boldness Christ shall be, even now as always, be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I am to live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me. I don't know which way to choose. He's between a rock and a hard place. He doesn't know whether he wants to stay on earth and serve God in his life, or if he'd rather go on to heaven. I'm hard pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart, meaning death, and be with Christ, for that is much better, much better. But during that process of trying to choose, the Lord lays it on him that it's his will for him to stay alive so he can go back to Philippi eventually and encourage these saints. So that's what happened in Paul's life. We're here today to celebrate, again, the communion service. And as I was thinking about the cup that we partake of in the communion service, I came across all kinds of things in my study about the death of Jesus Christ and how he told his disciples 3, maybe 4 times in different stages of his own ministry that he was going to go to Jerusalem, that he was going to suffer in the hands of the elders and the scribes and the chief priests and those who would nail him to the cross. But he says, I'll rise again the third day. Some of those disciples, James and John, they wanted to be a part of his kingdom, just like the thief on the cross prayed eventually, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Well, John and James, brothers, wanted to be remembered in such a way that they would be able to sit one on the right hand and one on the left of Jesus at his kingdom. In fact, I guess the mother came along and suggested that that's what would be nice if Jesus would grant that request to her sons. But Jesus had other plans, and that wasn't his plan at all, because it wasn't up to him to make that choice. But Jesus answered and said, you don't know what you're asking for. Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink? James and John said to him, yeah, we're able. Wow, they didn't know what they're talking about. They didn't really understand that this was not a celebration of feasting, but this had to do with death on the cross of Calvary. There is no crown before the cross. There must be the death before there can be resurrection and exaltation and return again to rule over the earth and all the nations in Jerusalem. They loved their Lord. They wanted to be close to him. They wanted to please him. But they wanted the very choice seats to be close to him. Jesus says, My cup you shall drink. You shall drink. They didn't know it at the time, perhaps. But James would be imprisoned and beheaded by Herod. He would die for the cause of Christ as a martyr. And John would be on exile in his older age to the Isle of Patmos. And he would maybe die of natural causes, but he had been through so much suffering before that time, because, and only because, he was following Christ. What it says on the front of your bulletin today is very applicable. Deny yourself, take up your cross, follow me. That's what Jesus requires of any of us who would be believers. Will we drink of a cup? Yes. If we drink of the cup of communion today, it will be because we have already partaken of the cup of salvation. But the cup of salvation does not come unless there is before that a cup of sacrifice. I did a study on cups this week. It had nothing to do with my coffee cup. It had nothing to do with Dutch Brothers. It had nothing to do with those cups that are given out as awards and trophies for athletes. It had everything to do about the cups mentioned in Scripture. And I just cut through here quickly. I looked all the way back to where Pharaoh's cup was in Pharaoh's hand in the book of Genesis. And the cupbearer gave the cup to Pharaoh. You remember the story. And he got put into prison along with the baker. And he met Joseph in there. And the cupbearer has a dream, and Joseph interprets the dream. And the cupbearer eventually goes back and is restored and is able to offer the cup to Pharaoh again. The cup is a cup of honor, of course, in as a king and a leader. That just showed his dominance over his kingdom, I suppose. It was a cup of authority. But as I looked at that cup and the cup that Joseph had, the silver cup that he used to give his brothers a hard time and reveal what had gone on in their lives, wow. It was a cup of providence, really, in Pharaoh's life, in the life of Joseph. In the providence of God, Joseph was exalted to a place of honor as well. When I think of providence, I think of the sovereignty of God that is graciously displayed in the lives of God's people. Providentially, God brings good things out of bad things. He brings life out of death. But before that can happen, there has to be death associated with life. It's a paradox in a way. Not as the world thinks, but as God thinks, if we have the mind of Christ, we know that in Christ, we never really die. Death for the Christian, death for the believer, is just an extension of the eternal life that was granted to us when we got saved. All we do is change geography. We leave earth, go to heaven. Wow, what a wonderful place that is. That service yesterday, our brother is in heaven, rejoicing in the things of God because he's known God for many, many years. A cup of blessing. Wow. At the Jewish Passover feast, there's a cup of cursing talked about in all the book of Revelation where it talks about Babylon and all the wickedness that was going on there in the book of Revelation and other places. Chapter 14 and chapter 17, it talks about what's going to happen to those people that were so wrapped up in their sin. They're going to drink of the cup of cursing, the cup of wrath that is going to be poured out upon the nations of the earth that have rejected the King Jesus. Cup of God's fury, it talks about that in Judah. I wish we had time to go through all this today, but that's not my sermon. It's all these cups that we deal with God. The cup of fear. Upon the wicked he will rain snares. Fire and brimstone will come to them. Psalm 11. Those who have followed false gods. But the cup that I really want to focus on right now and the rest of my time is the cup of sacrifice and suffering that Jesus experienced. James and John would not sit, probably, necessarily, at the right hand and the left hand of Jesus. But Jesus said, there will come a time when the 12 of you will sit, 12 disciples will sit on thrones, judging. They'll be a part of the rule and the reign of Christ. They'll have equal value. They'll have honor. They'll be celebrating because of the cup of sacrifice that Jesus is going to make at the cross. They're going to be associated with him. He knew it would be a sacrifice to go to the cross. In his humanity, he didn't want to go. In that sense, there's a verse in Hebrews chapter 2 where it says we all deal with the fear of death. Death isn't much that I fear. It's the process of dying that I worry about. Death means just stepping over the river, if you say so, the River Jordan into heaven itself. I look forward to that. We listen to a lot of video music from the Gaithers and other sources, and a fellow by the name of Jake Hess, who is now with the Lord, sang a song not too long ago that we listened to again, Death Ain't No Big Deal. And he made it perfectly clear that for the believer, we shouldn't be fearing death. We should fear God, trust Christ, rely upon Him, and trust Him through the process of dying. We're all in that process, friend, whether you're in your 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, wherever you are. We're all in the process. Who's going to win the race? Which one of us will volunteer for the next funeral? Not me. I love life. But you know what? If God calls me today, while I'm preaching, praise God. You got guys here that can finish the sermon without my help. Thank you very much. You've got elders that teach really well. You've got a good teacher here. Barry teaches the word very well. And life will go on. You know, the sacrifice, the cup which the Father has given me, shall I not drink it? Jesus said in John chapter 18, verse 11. Yes, he would drink it. He drank it to its dregs. Philippians 2, the whole first part of the chapter, talks about the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And it's through the fact that he drank the cup of sacrifice and suffering that we can drink the cup of salvation. The psalmist says in Psalm 116, I will take the cup of salvation and will call upon the name of the Lord. The cup of salvation. What a wonderful honor and a privilege it is to call ourselves Christians, followers of Christ. Since he took the cup of suffering and he drank, represented all of us and drank the wrath of God that our sins had caused in heaven, because God is holy and righteous and perfect, he has wrath and hates sin, but he loves righteousness. And Jesus knew there was a price to be paid in order to appease the wrath of a holy Father in heaven. And he drank the cup of suffering and sacrificed himself at the cross to pay that debt. I'm out of debt now because he paid the debt for me. I was a sinner, totally lost, walking in darkness, living selfishly. Going my way, I did it my way, as the celebrities sing. Well, shame on you. Go God's way. And his way is the way of repentance, belief in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting in him for forgiveness, and extending our lives throughout all eternity. Everything we have ever dreamed about will be ours through Jesus Christ, being at peace and rest and comfort and blessing. We can say goodbye to the suffering and the pain and the aging. No more aging in heaven, I guess, from what I've read. And we can say hello to loved ones who've preceded us. But you know, most of all, it's not the streets of gold I look forward to. I'm going to be afraid to walk on stuff like that. I've been on earth too long, but it's the face of Jesus. Seeing the face of Jesus and seeing him with my own eyes, that's going to be glory for me. The cup of salvation. We all drink of one spirit, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12:13. When the Holy Spirit comes into our life, we're made new through a rebirth from heaven above. And we can drink freely. The book of Revelation talks about that. John talks about that, that when the Holy Spirit comes into our life, it's like rivers of living water that cleanse us, that refresh us, that satisfy us, all because Jesus took the cup of suffering at the cross. He shed his blood on the cross of Calvary so that we could be saved. Ephesians 1:7 says, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Wow. Doesn't get better than that, my friend. And so today we get a chance to partake of the cup of forgiveness. The cup of forgiveness. The cup of love. We take the cup of remembrance. In 1 Corinthians 11:24 and 5, both the bread and the cup were to be enjoyed by believers and his followers. He says, do this in remembrance of me. And when we remember him, he forgets our sin. How's that for a play of words? When we remember him and trust him as our Lord and Savior, he forgets us, all of the sins. He puts them away. The Lamb of God takes away the sins of the world. He takes away our sins. He places them in the deepest sea. Don't go skin diving, my friend. Don't go deep sea diving for those sins anymore. Let them go. He will never remember them against us anymore. But we're told to remember him with gratitude because he is the one that pays the price for our sins. Another place in Scripture, 103 of Psalms, I suppose it is. He separates us from our sins as far as the east is from the west. Somewhere along in here, there's Western Oregon and there's Eastern Oregon. We have that in a lot of our states, don't we? But there's no way you can get any further away than that statement. The sins are separated, never to be connected anymore. Too far to look for them anymore. Forgiveness through Jesus Christ. The cup of salvation, the cup of communion. And you know this cup that we partake of today? We drink the juice because it reflects upon the blood that Jesus shed for our sins. And this is a cup of unity and fellowship. We do this as a body. This church is a body of Christ. This happens to be the Church of Sunnyside. This book in Philippians talks about the church at Philippi. Well, we have so many churches in Oregon now and so many churches in Portland, but the Bible-believing churches and Christians everywhere are all one body. I'll bet there are thousands and hundreds of thousands of people, maybe at this very hour, partaking of the communion service in celebration of our Lord and his death, burial, and resurrection, because that is the gospel, and any gospel preaching and gospel living body of Christ will be celebrating at the Lord's table. Not their own, but at the Lord's table. I used to eat at the King's table, but I haven't seen it over there in Beaverton. I think it went out of business. They ran out of food. This is the King's table. He rose from the dead. We celebrate his risen life. Easter is coming, and we're going to celebrate that soon. Got a call yesterday from a pastor in the area, says, do you want to join us as we help plan an Easter sunrise service? So that's in the wind. And I think you'll probably be participating in that. And I guess I'm supposed to be a part of that too. So we're going to celebrate the risen Christ because he partook of the cup of suffering and brought salvation to us. And then, you know what? If we're real followers, after we've taken the cup of communion, we'll take the cup of service. Now, a lot could be said about that, but it says in Matthew 10, whoever in the name of a disciple gives to one of these little ones even a cup of cold water to drink, truly I say to you, he shall not lose his reward. He shall not lose his reward. Is it too hard to give a cup of cold water to someone that's thirsty? There are people that are thirsty out there for what we've found. Is there any way we can give them a sample of that cool, clear water that flows from Calvary to their souls? There has to be a way to do that. The cup of service. I vowed I would serve God the rest of my life. One way or another, if I'm getting too old to preach, I'll figure out another way to serve Him until the last breath I take. And you know, we can do that even on our deathbed. I've seen people that are suffering with cancer give the gospel to their caregivers, and some of their caregivers came to Christ as a result of that very faint, hard to hear testimony. You must have Jesus as your Savior. Those under hospice care, I've talked to more than one who found Christ because the ones they were caring for loved Jesus. I'm going to love Jesus when I'm laying there too, unless, of course, He takes us all up in the rapture. That'll be my favorite way of going. That's the departure I want, and so do you. I could go on for a long time, but I'm not going to, because I want to help you celebrate and I want to join you in the very death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And we're going to do that now. We'll ask the elders to join us, please.